Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Text number 24. Namastasmai Bhagavate.
Namastasmai Bhagavate.
Vasudevaya Vedase.
Vasudevaya Vedase.
Papur Gyanam Ayam Saumya. Yanmukam Buruhasavam. Namastasmai Bhagavate.
Namastasmai Bhagavate.
Vasudevaya Vedase.
Vasudevaya Vedase.
Papur Gyanam Ayam Somya. Yanmukam Buruhasavam. Namaha. My obeisances. Tasmai.
Unto him.
Bhagavate.
Unto
the personality of Godhead.
Vasudevaya.
Unto Vasudeva.
Or
his incarnations.
Vedase.
The compiler of the Vedic literatures. Papuhu, drunk. Gyanam,
knowledge.
Ayam, this Vedic knowledge.
Somyaha,
the devotees, especially the consorts of Lord Krishna. Yat, from whose? Mukha Amburuha. The lotus mouth. Asavam. Nectar from his mouth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of Vasudeva, who compiled the Vedic scriptures. The pure devotees drink up the nectarian transcendental knowledge dropping from the lotus mouth of the Lord. Purport. In pursuance of the specific utterance, Vedase, or the compiler of the system of transcendental knowledge, Srila Sridhar Swami has commented that the respectful obeisances are offered to Srila Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of Vasudeva. Srila Jiva Goswami has agreed to this, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has made a further advance, namely, that the nectar from the mouth of Lord Krishna is transferred to his different consorts, and thus they learn the finer arts of music, dance, dressing, decorations, and all other such things which are relished by the Lord. Such music, dance, decorations, and decorations enjoyed by the Lord are certainly not anything mundane. Because the Lord is addressed in the very beginning as Pada, or transcendental. This transcendental knowledge is unknown to the forgotten conditioned souls. Srila Vyasadeva, who is the incarnation of the Lord, thus compiled the Vedic literatures to revive the lost memory of the conditioned souls about their eternal relation with the Lord. One should therefore try to understand the Vedic scriptures, or the nectar transferred by the Lord to his consorts in the conjugal humor, from the lotus-like mouth of Vyasadeva or Shukadeva. By gradual development of transcendental knowledge, one can rise to the stage of the transcendental arts of music and dance displayed by the Lord in his Rasa Leela. But without having the Vedic knowledge, one can hardly understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's Rasa dance and music. The pure devotees of the Lord, however, can equally relish the nectar in the form of the profound philosophical discourses and in the form of kissing by the Lord in the Rasa dance, as there is no mundane distinction between the two. So, the verse only says, let us offer obeisances unto the Lord Vasudev, who is Vedas. So Vedas can be understood in a few ways. One usual understanding, translation of it is creator, or the knower of everything. And here Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, not Prabhupada, but Srila Sridhar Swami has identified Vedas here, Vyasadeva. That's it. What can we do? What can we do? That'll be gone in a minute. Anyway, they'll pass. It'll pass by today. Oh, fam. Vedas. Sridhar Swami is giving his interpretation that Vedas is actually referring to compiler of the Vedas. It's not the same word. Vedha has saprana dhakara. Veda is aprana dhakara. So it's not that the word literally means Veda, but he's taking the meaning of creator. Sridhar Swami is understanding it to mean creator of a book, compiler, and he's identifying that as Vyasadeva, the compiler of the Vedic literature. So Sridhar Swami is telling us that we can understand this verse as a prayer offering obeisances to Vyasadeva. And then, so that is not, that explanation is not in the words of the verse, but we're accepting it from the commentary of Sridhar Swami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he accepts whatever opinion Sridhar Swami states in his commentary, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts it. Srila Ballabhacharya, Jai Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Sri Gaurinitai. Ballabhacharya, who founded later his own Sampradaya, did take initiation in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is recorded in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Ballabhabhatta, or whom we know as Ballabhacharya, founder of the Ballabha Sampradaya, was initiated by Gadadhar Pandit. And it's described how he had the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he wrote his own commentary on the Bhagavatam. And he wanted for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see, to look at that commentary. He wanted, in effect, he wanted to be praised. He wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to tell him, yes, your commentary is very good. He wanted the stamp of approval. But he made the big mistake of commenting to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that I have corrected the mistakes of Sridhar Swami in my commentary. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like this at all. He refused to even look at the commentary. And later when Ballabhabhatta asked Swarup Damodar to beg Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to look at it, Lord Chaitanya explained, Swami namani le yini tini vesha gane maje mani. A lady who does not respect her Swami, I consider her to be a prostitute. So Sridhar Swami, and then he explained that I accept everything Sridhar Swami says. I have great respect for him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has respect, therefore we should respect the opinion of Sridhar Swami. We can understand that it doesn't say Vyasadeva in the verse. It's apparently offering obeisances to Vasudeva. But Sridhar Swami interprets Vedase as referring to Vyas, and therefore Srila Prabhupada has put that right into his translation. Because we, without any doubt, accept the opinions of Sridhar Swami. How he explains the Bhagavatam is how we understand it. And then we have Sridhar Swami was before Lord Chaitanya, so he does not belong to the Gaudiya Sampradaya. There was no Gaudiya Sampradaya when he was living. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not yet appeared. And even in the second canto of in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, after describing how the Supreme Lord, after appearing in three previous ages, also appears in the Kali Yuga. Iti dvapara uvisha yajanti parameshwaram nana tantra vedatantra vidanoptaira, or something like that. Kalavapi tata shrinu. So, my dear king, this is how they worship the Supreme Lord in the Dwarpa Yuga. He appears as Krishna. And he's worshipped by deity, process of deity worship. This is the method of devotional service in Dwarpa Yuga. Now, please hear from me how the Lord also appears in the Kali Yuga. Krishna Varnam Twisha Krishnam Sangopang Ashtraparshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayayar Yajanti Hi Sumeda Saha. Sorry, I said the second canto. This is second chapter of the 11th canto, or rather the 5th chapter of the 11th canto, spoken by Karabhajana Muni speaking to King Nimi. And he explains that in Kali Yuga, intelligent people do worship the Supreme Lord, who appears, as usual, he appears also with his beautiful bodily features and his personal associates, and he's carrying his weapons. And people in Kali Yuga who are intelligent worship him by performing sacrifice, especially in the form of Nam Sankirtan. Yagyai Sankirtana Prayayar. Yajanti Husameda Saha. So that we understand to be description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Yuga Avatar, the form of the Supreme Lord who appears in the Kali Yuga to teach us in Kali Yuga how to worship Krishna according in an appropriate way. The appropriate method for practicing Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga is Nam Sankirtana. Everything we do is on the strength of Nam Sankirtana. We can do service to Krishna, meaning that we can worship the deity, chant the Gayatri Mantra, perform rabbinical activities, including teaching, studying, worshipping. All of these things we can do only on the strength of Harinam. The basis of our whole devotional practice is Sankirtana. Sankirtana. We chant Hare Krishna and then we have the strength to do everything else. We understand that to be unequivocally referenced to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in our age, on the strength of Sri Jiva Goswami's commentary. He is first written in the Tattva Sandarbha. He has quoted this verse at the very beginning. He quotes the verse as his first Mangala Charana verse, his invocation, at the very beginning of the Tattva Sandarbha, his explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he writes his own verse explaining it. Antak Krishnam
Bahir Goram Darshat Andadi Vaibhavam. Yajama, I can't remember the third line. Anyway, the fourth line I can't remember either. But he says, we worship in Kali Yuga the Supreme Lord who shows his personal opulences as he does in the past. We worship him by performing Sankirtan. He is within, inside he's Krishna, outside he's golden. He's Krishna himself, but his external appearance, his bodily form, is not black, it's golden. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, obviously. And that is the unequivocal opinion of Sri Jiva Goswami, who has written the six Sandarbhas and his commentary on every verse of the Bhagavatam, or not every verse, his commentary verse by verse on the Bhagavatam, the Krama Sandarbha. But Sridhar Swami was maybe 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He did not know what Lord Chaitanya revealed. At least, he did not let us know if he knew it. I think in the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya, there is mentioned how Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya met Lord Chaitanya in Navadvipa. He revealed himself to them and then told both of them, don't let anybody know what you've seen. You just preach to the people the way you were taught. Don't reveal this secret information. I don't know if Sridhar Swami is also mentioned in the Navadvipa Dham Mahatmya. Maybe not. He may have also had some insight into the future appearance of Lord Chaitanya. But he didn't reveal it. He didn't give any hint of it. He spoke as if he knew nothing of the confidential, transcendental knowledge revealed by Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, in this statement, this verse that for us describes the appearance of Lord Chaitanya in Kali Yuga, Sridhar Swami doesn't read it the same way. He takes it to refer to Krishna himself. Krishna appeared at the very end of Dwarpa Yuga, just like the city Chandigarh is the capital of both Punjab and Haryana, because it's on the border. You know, it was built, you know, specially designed new city, and they made it the capital of two different states. Like that, Krishna, according to Sridhar Swami, is the Yuga avatar for Dwarpa Yuga and also Kali Yuga. And for Sridhar Swami, this verse, Krishna Varnam, he's Krishna color, Twisha Krishnam. This is a grammatical ambiguity in Sanskrit. You have Sandhi, where the two words you have in Kannada also, and other languages, Twisha Akrishnam, merges together into one word, Twisha Krishnam. But suppose you were saying, that means by his Twisha, by his color, he's not Krishna. Means he's something, some other color than black. The opposite, golden. But suppose you wanted to say that he is Krishna in his color. It would be Twisha Krishnam. And it would sound exactly the same. Whether you were merging the two words together, or whether you had two separate words, and the second word was Krishnam. Twisha Krishnam, Twisha Akrishnam, because of the merging, sound the same. Twisha Krishnam. So, Sridhar Swami simply takes it to mean Twisha space Krishnam. In his color, he's black. He's Krishna. Krishna is also, according to Sridhar Swami, the Yuga Avatara for Kali Yuga. Because, as the Vishnu Dharmotara Purana says, the Lord only appears in three ages. In Kali Yuga, there is no avatar. And the Vaishnavas and other sampradayas take that literally. They deny that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be the incarnation of the Supreme Lord because the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, does not appear in Kali Yuga. Except we have information, and it's right there in the Bhagavatam, Chanak Kalau. In Kali, you're disguised. So chana means covered. The Lord uncovers himself, and that's his avatar. Krishna doesn't have to come in an elevator or a helicopter, descend. If this chief minister of the state wants to visit your village, he'll come in a helicopter. He came to Vrindavan, from Lucknow, chief minister of UP. So he landed in the field next to our house, in a big helicopter. But Krishna doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to be transported. When he descends, he's not physically relocating himself. He doesn't have to be taken in a helicopter. He simply reveals himself. As Kunti Devi said, Maya Javanika Chanam, you're covered, Chanam, Achanam, by the curtain of Maya. So the avatar is really not even a descent. It's certainly not what we say in English, incarnation. In the Latin liturgy of the Mass, the Catholic Church, et incarnatus, and God became flesh. Carne means meat. We have bodies made out of meat. There was a joking story in one magazine in America about some people from outer space reporting that there's a planet where people have bodies made out of meat. Can you imagine such a thing? But that's what we have. Our bodies are made out of meat. And they were just imitation bodies. Real bodies, spiritual bodies, aren't made out of meat. So God, according to the Christian theology, took a body made out of meat, flesh, carne, incarnatus. So unfortunately, the English word incarnation means taking a body made out of flesh. Krishna never does that. So properly speaking, he doesn't incarnate. The Sanskrit word doesn't say that. The Sanskrit word says avatar, avatarati. He descends, he comes down from the spiritual world and simply reveals himself. But even descend is not accurate. He doesn't, come down on an elevator or slide down a pole like the firemen do. He simply reveals himself. The curtain is lifted and there he is. The curtain is opened and he's there. That's the actual nature of avatar. So, chanak kalau. Maya javanika chanam. Kunti Devi says you're covered by the curtain of Maya and therefore we don't see you. We can see you when you have your public avatar. Then everybody can see you. The word is achana. The same word is spoken by Prahlad. Kalau channa. In Kali, you're covered over. So the Vaishnavas of the other sampradayas, they take this to mean you don't appear in Kali Yuga. You're covered over. You remain covered by the curtain of illusion and nobody sees you in Kali Yuga. You don't have an avatar in Kali Yuga. It's right there in the Bhagavatam, but the other Vaishnavas, the ones who are not devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they take it to mean no incarnation in Kali Yuga. But Jiva Goswami again, in his Krama Sandarbha, has explained, Chanak Kalau means that in Kali Yuga you have a secret incarnation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he's not revealing to most people the fact that he's Krishna. To the public, he presents himself as a devotee. Only to very intimate associates does he reveal that he's actually Krishna. That's covered. That's how he hides himself. And that's our evidence from the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam that Krishna does incarnate in the Kali Yuga. But without faith in the commentary of Jiva Goswami, if we don't trust the authority of Sri Jiva Goswami, we won't get the idea. We'll still think that there is no incarnation of Krishna in Kali Yuga. So anyway, this goes on and on. Sridhar Swami, he's presenting the other view, that there is no separate incarnation in Kali Yuga. Krishna can be considered the Kali Yuga Yugadharma avatar. He appears at the very end of Dwarpa Yuga. When did Kali Yuga begin? In Moni Williams Dictionary, I think it's listed as March 12th, 3002 BC. And according to the Mahabharata, the very day that was the beginning of Kali Yuga was during the battle of Kurukshetra, during those 18 days. Kali Yuga began. Krishna was present then at the very beginning of Kali Yuga. He remained for a few years after that date. So we can say that Krishna was also present in the Kali Yuga. Sri Rasami, therefore, doesn't recognize the appearance, doesn't admit openly, publicly, that he doesn't acknowledge the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, after this shloka that we take as describing Lord Chaitanya, there are two more shlokas. Tyaktva sudushchaja surepsita raja lakshmim darabhishta arya vachasa yudagad aranyam maya migam dayati yepsitam anvadavad vande maha purushate charanaravindam. O Mahapurusha, I offer my respects at your lotus feet. And then description. You gave up Chaktva Sudustijusarepsita Raja Lakshmi, the sovereignty over the kingdom of the goddess of fortune, which even the demigods are always hankering to have the blessings, the favor of the goddess of fortune. You gave her up. And on the order of a respected elder, you went to the forest. Maya migam dayate yepsitam. Out of compassion, dayataya, for the fallen conditioned souls, you're chasing after them, you're pursuing them, trying to get them to surrender to Krishna. Vande Mahapurusha te charanada vindam. So, O Mahapurusha, great Supreme Lord, we honor your lotus feet. Vande, I offer my respects to your lotus feet. Jiva Goswami explains that this is further description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the Mahapurusha, or as we know, the Mahaprabhu. And he left the enjoyment of this world. He took this renounced order and he left behind his wife, who was the goddess of fortune, Sri Vishnupriya. Now his father didn't tell him, but a respectable Brahmin once cursed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you'll never have any happiness in family life. And we can see it. His father died when he was still young. His first wife died. So his family life was not extremely happy. This was Krishna's, or his own arrangement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arrangement, so that he would enter the renounced order. He was also being criticized by the scholars and students of Navadvip. So he decided, I'll take sannyas. You know, people don't respect me, they respect a sannyasi. I'll take sannyas, I'll leave all of this. Out of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls, he's begging them to accept this Harinam Sankirtan. Chant Krishna's names. So that's the understanding of this prayer to the Mahapurusha, given by Sri Jiva Goswami. So what does Sridhar Swami say about it? He's not showing that he recognizes the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. He understands the same verse as the description of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And instead of linking this with the previous verse that is describing the appearance of the Lord in Kali Yuga, he just takes it as a summary of the whole description of the Lord in all four yugas. Each of the four yugas, the Lord's appearance is described, and then the Mahapurusha, the Supreme Lord, in a generic, general way, is offered respects in these last two verses. And this one, Sridhar Swami takes as referring to Lord Ramachandra. You gave up your kingdom on the order of your respected elder, namely your father, Dasharatha, and you went to the forest. And you chased after the golden deer, who was actually the wizard Marichi, sent by Ravana. Dayataya, because your wife requested you to get that deer. So, Lord Ramachandra, we offer respects at your lotus feet. Same verse is understood in another way, which is perfectly reasonable interpretation. So this is Sridhar Swami. He's giving the explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is acknowledged by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be faultless. At the same time, We have the additional commentaries on the Bhagavatam by Sri Jiva Goswami and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And they give sometimes different interpretations. They never reject the opinion of Sri Goswami. This verse does glorify Ramachandra, but it also glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so Jiva Goswami explains how Vedasev refers to Vyasadev here, not disagreeing with Sridhar Swami, or rather Sridhar Swami said that. Sorry. Prabhupada says Sri Jiva Goswami has agreed to this, but Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, our third commentator, who lived, Jiva Goswami was the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan. He was in the second generation. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur appeared later. He wrote his commentary on the Bhagavatam in the middle of the 17th century, 1648 or so. He wrote his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. He was somewhat later, over 100 years after Jiva Goswami. But his commentary is especially full of rasa, full of his intimate realizations of Krishna's pastimes, especially in the Madhurya Rasa. That is his mood. And he reveals many things that are confidential. So here, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, on this verse, describes how the word somya, gentle, but who are the gentle devotees here who drink the nectar? Vishwanath Chakravarti says this word somya particularly refers to the gopis of Vrindavan who taste the nectar at Krishna's lotus feet. They especially enjoy it during the rasa dance. The gopis of Vrindavan are actually Krishna's original internal potencies. The goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha, the queens of Dwarka, are simply their expansions. They are the originals. And all culture originates in Krishna's pastimes. And the highest pastime is the rasa dance. For the rasa dance, the gopis show their expertise in music, in dance, in song and poetry. These fine arts that are related especially to the power of speech. Music is based on singing. Instrumental music is only imitation. Anyone who teaches the Indian style, either Hindustani or Carnatic music, will tell you, the teacher will tell you, that music is originally singing. If you want to learn to play a musical instrument, you have to imitate how the human voice sings. Music begins with singing, and singing is an expression of language. We sing, we usually sing with words, and we express ideas in our songs. So song and dance are connected to poetry, and poetry is literature. Poetry is expression of language. Language used artistically is poetry. And that goes back to the previous verse, two verses back, when we're describing how Mother Saraswati manifested from Lord Brahma. So therefore, and Shukadeva Goswami, he has to appeal to this power of speech because it's his job now to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. He's praying for the blessings of Mother Saraswati, that he will be empowered to speak nicely. So long prashishta, may that Supreme Lord give beauty to my words so that they will be attractive and powerful. Hare Krishna. So where does these arts of using words poetically, where does the arts of poetry, including music, drama, dance, where do they originate? They originate with the original teachers. Not Bharata Muni, or not even Narada. These are not the original teachers. The original teachers of all arts and science are the gopis. The origin of where these arts and sciences originate are Krishna's rasa dance, rasa lila. So, Vyasadeva is mentioned. He's the great sage from whom all Vedic knowledge come, but he's not the origin. He just appears at the end of Dwarpa Yuga and edits and compiles the collection of Vedas. But the original knowledge, all arts and science, goes back to Krishna's original pastimes. So that intimate realization is being given to us by the mercy of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti and his commentary on this verse. Whatever level you want to understand it on, the pure devotees are relishing the nectar at Krishna's lotus feet. Through the beautiful poetry, the wonderful logic and philosophy, the transcendental sound of the Srimad Bhagavatam gives great pleasure. The devotees drink it up like nectar. Okay, so I'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, do it.
I know that later when Vallabhacharya obviously took humble mood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read his commentary. Listen to his commentary.
Did he? No? I don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
I don't
my,
know if
my that. Question was like, yeah. Do you know maybe what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about his commentary?
I don't remember Chaitanya listening to the commentary. We can check that. Maybe I don't remember. I remember that he forced Gadadhara Pandit to hear some of it. And he got in trouble for that. He was chastised by Swarup Damodar. And then I don't know if Lord Chaitanya ever agreed to listen to any of it. But I'm not sure. Yeah, it was Gadadhara Pandit, and it was by force. You know, he was like forced into it, and then he was very, you know, scared what's going to happen now that, you know, I've dissatisfied Lord Chaitanya by listening to this. Yeah, that, I think that's something else. I don't think Lord Chaitanya ever heard it. So you see, Prabhupada doesn't quote. He quotes from Viragavacharya from the Sri Sampradaya sometimes in his Bhagavatam purports. He quotes from Vijayadvajatirtha once in a while from the Madhva Sampradaya. Never once quotes from Vallabhacharya's commentary in all 12 cantos. Yes?
He does say in his purport to the first verse, there are notes
written
by great stalwarts like
Vallabhacharya.
Yes.
A
serious student should do well to
That's because in the Bhagavatam published by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, for the first, especially the first three verses, he gives very elaborate notes in Bengali, his Tatya. And he quotes from many different commentaries, especially on the first, second, and third verses, including Vallabhacharya's commentary. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did paraphrase some of Balava's commentary on the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada's mentioning that in his purport. Just mentioning by name. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati actually quoted or paraphrased what Balava said, but only on that one verse. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glory, Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.